darkness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals. And over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves along the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And so it was. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning on the sixth day. The word of God for the people of God.
You talk among yourselves for a minute. I gotta set this up. So. There we go. How about that? I thought I got rid of that. Oh, law. We'll come back to that in a minute. The lady woke up one morning and she told her husband, she said, "I had this greatest dream." I said, "I dreamed that you gave me this string of pearls. It was those most beautiful pearls I had ever seen. And it was so real." And he said, "Well, you wait till this evening and you'll know what that means." So he comes on that night and she's all excited. And he brings in this package and he gives it to her. And she opens it up and it's a book. It says, "How to Interpret Dreams." Did everybody get a chance to see the mirror this morning? Right inside the door there, kind of strange. You know, in worship, we come and we try to get past that idea of image, but we really can't, can we? So what did you think about when you saw yourself in the mirror? What was your impression? Did you feel good? Did you feel bad? Somebody told me, they asked where we got that beautiful picture we had in the foyer there. I won't say who that was. I think I overpaid for that $5 haircut I got this week. I thought it was a good deal at the time, but maybe not. We have these impressions, and most of us, those are negative impressions of ourselves. And in this series, what we're talking about is trying to get past that measuring ourselves or identifying ourselves with things on the outside, not just how we look, although that's a big thing. And the series really isn't about body image. It's about seeing ourselves the way God sees us and getting past that idea that we're measured by what other people think or by our experiences in life, good ones or bad ones, our successes or our failures, or by the voices of the people in our life who tell us or try to tell us who we are. that we really get back to that place where we believe what God says about us. We talk about in Christianity about living by faith, and that's faith in Christ, but it's also this faith that we are who God says we are. This really believing that God knows what He's talking about. And so as we talk about this series in the next few weeks, that's where we're trying to get to, that we begin to see ourselves the way God sees us. And that's tough to do. That's not something that happens overnight. It takes some work and it takes some time as we root out some of those old images and those old ideas, and we allow these new ones to come in. And maybe the goal isn't so much that I change myself the way I see myself. Maybe the goal is to believe that this is the way God sees me. Maybe changing the way I see myself is too much to ask in a few weeks. But if I could change the way I think that God sees me. Like last week we talked about, you may not have got this out of it, but what I tried to say in the midst of all that. You know, some weeks are better than others. Let's just say that. Sometimes the band was saying this morning about two services. I said, you know, sometimes I don't want to hear myself twice, so I don't blame you if you don't listen twice. And there are times, believe it or not, when I get bored when I'm preaching, and I wish it was over. So don't feel bad about that. That happens. So last week what I tried to say was that God sees us as people with possibilities. That no matter what's happened to us or where we've been or what other voices have said to us, that God still sees in us the possibility that we can love Him with all our heart and soul and mind and strength and our neighbor as ourself. That goal and that plan, His greatest desire for us, is still a possibility. When God sees us, that's the first thing He sees, is the possibility that we can be the person He created us to be. That is not over. That dream of His, He still believes in that possibility. And so this morning we're going to talk a little bit more about how He sees us. And this morning we're talking about He sees us as made in His image. In Genesis chapter 1, there, the verse that the chapter that Mary read, you know, kind of the rule in creation was everything reproduces after its own kind. The fruit trees produced after their own kind. Apple trees produced apples. You know, peach trees produced peaches. Okra plants produced okra, which I'm sure there was okra in paradise, don't you think? There about have to be. And so everything, the bird, you know, the robins had robins, and the cardinals had cardinals, and the elephants had elephants, and everything reproduced after its time. And so at the very end, God reproduces after His own kind. In His own image, He created them, male and female. And so what we're going to talk about this morning is what that means a little bit and how God sees us, the possibilities that He sees in us because we are made in His image. And I think, you know, all through the centuries, people have argued, theologians have argued about whether man is basically good or evil. The Calvinists would say that man is totally depraved, that there's nothing good in him, that he is evil. Wesleyans, like us, would tend to say that, yes, we are all sinners and we have all come short of the glory of God. Still, there remains in us this part of us that can respond to God's grace. That God's grace is at work in every person, and we have the ability in us to respond to that grace. And so you have John Calvin and you have John Wesley. And as most of you may not know yet, but you will probably figure out, Melinda already knows, I'm not quite as smart as John Calvin or John Wesley. My theology is probably more like John Wayne. So I heard that. And that's for me, it's not so much an issue of are we good or are we evil. I think it is there the possibility and the potential in us to be who God wants us to be? And I think God sees that in us. Is there still in us that core that He created, that identity that responds to who He is? Is there something in us that still remains that can hear the whisper of God and sense His presence and know that He is near? And the Word says, I believe, that that is true, that there is in us that which can respond to God. And what does it mean to be made in His image? And in that passage there in Genesis 1, I think there are three things that we can talk about. And one is that we are made in His image and that we are made for relationship. Sorry, guys, I tried to get out of that best way I could, but I couldn't, you know. Relationships are not our thing. It's kind of like we're in this 10-mile race, and the women start at mile 8, and we're starting at 0, you know. They got this big head start on us that we have to catch up on. But that's what it is. We are made to be in relationship. God said, let us, the Trinity, make them in our image. Male and female, He created them. He made us with the capacity and with the purpose of being in relationship with Him and with each other. And I said my theology is kind of like John Wayne, so I'm going to wander just a little bit into, I don't know if it's heresy or not, I hope not, but this is what I think and what I believe. And, you know, I hope that you don't take much of what I say without thinking about it a whole lot. I don't believe everything I say myself, so you shouldn't. And so there is this, but I think that when God created man, that God existed in the Trinity with this perfect fellowship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They never argued, you know, they didn't worry about the thermostat, whether it was on the right temperature or not. There wasn't, you know, where we're going to eat tonight, no arguments about any of that stuff. It was just perfect harmony. And so God created man with this understanding that that was about to end, that there was going to be the opportunity for love to express itself to a people who did not deserve it, to a people who would abuse it and reject it, that God was creating the possibility of the experience of love in a way that was unique for us. I don't know how you say something's unique for God, but different even for Him. I believe that this is how it was meant to be. With the failures and the sin and the brokenness and the strife that God believed when He created in the power of His love and His grace. So that even when there's not perfect harmony, that He can create harmony out of that. And so what we experience within ourselves and between each other and between us and God is part of this relationship of love, figuring out how to love each other when we don't deserve it, or when we don't want to, or when it's rejected or turned back on us. All those difficulties that make relationships hard is part of the way it's supposed to be, I think. That God knew that this was what it was about. This is how it would turn out. He wasn't surprised. But He came into this whole relationship thing knowing that He would be called upon to give everything He has in love for us. He knew that. And He did that with delight. He wasn't backed into a corner. Nobody twisted His arm. He entered into this relationship of His own free will. And so part of what it means to be made in the image of God is to enter into relationships. Is to care for each other. And I tell you, I'm not really good at that. You know, I put it off for a long time. I stayed out of them because of my own fears and because of hurts and because of my own sense of incompetence, that I didn't know what I was doing. And so this idea that I was made for relationships is kind of a new revelation for me. That I may be really awkward at it, but this is what I was made for. God still sees that in me. And sometimes people see that in me, and they catch a glimpse of that because that's who I am. I was made for that. Second thing that he talks about there is he tells us to take dominion over the earth, which means that we have a great deal of dignity, that we are not just worms, and that our choices have consequences. Consequences that God respects. If you may not have noticed, but God doesn't fix stuff. When we mess up, it pretty much stays messed up until we try to set it right and God helps us. Because God respects the power that He has given us. He said to take dominion. And so we take that power and we use it in bad ways sometimes. In relation to the earth, the way we treat the planet, and in our relationships with each other, and in our relationship with ourselves. We misuse this power and we think about, we want God to fix things, but God respects that dignity that He gave to us. To be made in the image of God is to have that power and that dignity, that our choices have consequences. And so in relationships, our choices have consequences. And then the third thing, that idea of being made in the image of God means that we have great value and worth. Creation says that you are worth a great deal. And it also, the cross tells us that we have great worth. The cross is not just about payment for sin. Cross is an affirmation of how much God loves us, of how much we are worth to Him. We think about who we are. I think we're kind of like Legos. Not always in the bad way, like when you step on them in the middle of the night. But in the sense that we are made for a relationship. One Lego, every Lego, has these little circles on it. And that's not just for advertising, because if you look, they say Lego on them. But that's because they were made for a relationship. They're made to be in connection with something else. One Lego by itself is not a lot of fun. But a bunch of them together is. And they were made to be together. That's, I believe, how we were made. There's something in us that we were made for a relationship. And those relationships have dignity and power to them. And they assert our worth. And so I'm going to try to help you visualize this just a little bit. And my artwork is pretty bad, so. Another arm, need an arm there. Can you tell what it is? It's a person. Aliens from another planet. The eclipse reminds us of the eclipse. And so we have this image of ourselves. You can't read that, but that says image of self. And that comes from what other people say to us, what we see in the mirror, our experiences that say we're either a failure or we're a success. And everybody has this self-image. But we also have, that's a heart. This image of God in us. Most of the time we see ourselves like this. And this is a lie. And we live our lives from this image, when this is who we are. The song we sang reminds us who we are. And what happens is we begin to relate to other people because we were made for a relationship. And we have dignity. And we have value or worth. But we ignore all those and we live out of fear and self and this defensiveness of taking care of ourselves. And so we relate to each other like this. And that don't work because it's not real. This is not really who we are. And so we spend our time trying to figure out who we are and who the other person is, and we miss the reality. And sometimes as we grow, as we begin to believe that this is who we are, we still make this mistake of trying to relate to the other person as we see them. And that's where racism and sexism and nationalism and all those things come from, when we relate to this self, this image that is different from us. Because the first thing, first impressions are huge. It used to be they said your first impression is formed in 30 seconds to 2 minutes when you meet somebody. Now they say it's probably in the first 2 seconds when you see somebody that you form this impression of who they are. And if this person is different from me, that first impression is generally negative. And until we begin to see ourselves this way and every other person this way, every person we meet is made in the image of God. They are to be valued, they have dignity, and they are capable of relationship. This is how God sees us. You see, God exists here, and we have this image of God in our heads. In our faith, our religion, most of the time, is that too often it's this mistake, it's this lie that we try to get to work, and that will not work. It will always frustrate us. We'll always feel like we're not good enough or that God's not good enough. And you know, to be honest, we feel that, don't we? I'm not good enough, and God's not really good enough either. But what God does is God sees this. This is what God relates to in us. And He invites us to relate to Him as He is. That works. That's what faith is about. And when we begin to do that, then we can begin to do this. To see God in every person we meet. To recognize the value and the dignity that they have. God invites, when He sees us, this is what He sees. He knows about this, and it breaks His heart. But He sees us like this. He remembers that we were made for a relationship with Him and with other people, that we still have dignity and value. So it doesn't matter what you've done or where you've been. That's who you are. I know this idea of is there good, are we good or are we evil? And I know in my own heart, there's both. I do some bad stuff. I'm pretty selfish sometimes. But I also know that beneath that, there is this longing to be faithful to Christ. There is this desire to be a good influence in the world. There is this hunger to care about the people around me. I didn't create that. That is the image of God that remains in us, in all of us. And if you read the news, you'll think the world has gone to the boogeyman, you know. It's a terrible place. There's violence and war and deception and politics and all kinds of bad stuff. But the news is not all the news. This is real. The people you meet out there who are gracious and kind are real. And beneath all that violence and war and evil and hunger and discrimination and prejudice, underneath all that is God's presence, is hope, that God still sees us as those who can be loved and who will love, those who have the potential to live in relationship with Him and with each other. He sees us no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, He sees you with dignity and value so much that His Son died for us that we might live in Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the way You see us. Help us to believe that we are that person who was made in Your likeness and that You knew that it would be like this and that You love us in this moment and in this place. That You are active in our world and in our hearts. Help us not to see ourselves through the outward eyes, but to see ourselves and to see each other through Your eyes. In Jesus' name, amen. As we have communion this morning, we're going to have the mirror down here, and you're going to pass by it before you take communion. And the goal is that you will be reminded not to see yourself just by that outward person, but that you will see yourself the way God sees you, or at least that you will believe that God sees you differently than you see yourself. Believe that God sees in you His own likeness, that He is drawn into relationship, that He sees the dignity and the value you have. So I'm going to invite those who are going to help with communion to come, and the band, if you'd come.